That was great. I like how you changed that up. We're in a theme here of the last few weeks called How Sweet the Sound. And today we're talking about It Is Well With My Soul. But let us first just bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, we just want to thank you for this glorious day. We thank you for the gift of music. And Lord, as we take a look at one of the hymns that have been written in your praise and glory, Lord, allow the words from my mouth and the message that's in this heart be pleasing unto you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a man comes along the beach and he's praying on Bonita Beach and he's praying and he's thinking to himself that, oh please, dear God, just grant me one wish. And so suddenly the sky opens up, the clouds disappear, and he hears this loud booming voice which says to him, because you have been so faithful, I will grant you one wish. So the man's like, yes, this is great. So he's like, please, Lord, build a bridge to Key West so that when I need to alleviate my stress, I can go down to the Florida Keys and have that alleviated. So Lord says, well, you know, I could do that, but that just sounds a little materialistic. Not to mention, it is a little difficult. Think of the pilings and the steel and the concrete that would be required for the Gulf of Mexico to go down all the way. And, you know, that would just be a huge undertaking. Could you think about that again? You know, maybe think of a different wish. Even though I could do it, I am God, after all. And the man thought, okay. So he goes back and he thinks as he continues walking along Bonita Beach. And he finally decides, okay, Lord, I understand where you're going with this. So instead, I would like to know everything there is to know about women. I'd like to know why they cry. I want to know why they say, oh, it's nothing. I want to know what's really important to them, and I wanted to know how to make a woman truly happy. And God replies, of course, do you want two or four lanes on that bridge? Oh, yeah. Well, many of you may know the comedian George Burns. I don't know if you remember that name. He actually played God at one time. And he said that the secret to a good sermon is that the beginning is the beginning, make people laugh, and at the end the same, and keep the two as close together as possible. So it's fun to laugh. Laughter is good. And did you know that laughter is actually something that can improve your health? I didn't realize that. It's when they say laughter is truly a good medicine. It really is. It draws people together in a way that can trigger a healthy, happy lifestyle. It's good for us emotionally and physically. It can change even our body language when we speak to one another. Laughter strengthens our immune system. It boosts our mood, and it diminishes pain. It protects us from even the damages affecting stress. In fact, children, I might be a little too tinny there. If you could turn the gain down. Just a little. Thanks. In fact, children laugh hundreds of times a day. But as adults, life tends to be more serious for us, and laughter, it takes us a longer time to really consider how much laughter we can have in our lives. So we tend to draw back from it, but children laugh all the time. When did we forget that? So I think when I start Sunday mornings, I am so full of praise and worship to God. I'm so excited for the day that is the beginning of a new week each week for me, that laughter is part of something that I want to draw on when we come together on Sunday morning and praise God for. So today we're going to continue with this theme of this little song, It Is Well With My Soul. It's a hymn, of course, that we've been looking at with other hymns that is drawn out of tragedy, but it has been a great comfort for many people around the world. So let me take you back in time to 1871. The Great Chicago Fire consumes the Windy City. An attorney heavily invested in real estate by the name of Horatio Spafford lost his fortune due to this fire. And about the same time, his four-year-old son had succumbed to scarlet fever. So Horatio was dealing with a lot in his life. He was consumed with grief. But he did start a revival campaign in Chicago, and he assisted more than 100,000 people who had been left homeless homeless. So for 2 years, his family, after these events, had decided to finally take a vacation to Europe. They decided to go visit their good friend D.L. Moody and another gentleman by the name of Ira Sankey. Both were American gospel singer and composer and evangelist, and they had been doing revivals all over the United States as well as in Europe, so they decided to go to Britain during one of those revivals at the close or the end of the 19th century. So Horatio wanted to see firsthand what a real revival, evangelical revival meeting would look like and have a vacation at the same time. Unfortunately, a matter came up and that was urgent, and he had to stay. But he told his wife and his four daughters that he would meet them over in England. So they board this luxury liner, this French luxury liner called the Ville du Havre, and they went on their way, and he said, "I'll meet you there." Well, during the early morning of November 22nd, 1873, the Ville du Havre sailed over smooth seas, and then they woke with a jolt. They hit and collided with an iron sailing vessel. Amid the screams and the prayers, the Ville du Havre tilted, and the passengers clung to posts, and the powerful current in the icy oceans took down the majority of the people, including Horatio's four daughters and 222 other people. They were lost at sea. Horatio's wife, Anna, she clung to this part of the wreckage, her and 46 other people, and they landed eventually in Cardiff, Wales. Anna cabled Horatio two words, "Saved alone." Horatio immediately booked a travel on another ship, headed to Wales, and in the route on this cold December night, the captain of the ship said, "I believe, Horatio, we are now traveling over the area in which your four daughters were lost," and the Ville du Havre went down. He went back to his room, in his stateroom, and he said to God, "It is well. The will of God be done." He wrote those words into what is now our famous hymn in the melody, "It Is Well With My Soul." It was originally even titled Ville du Havre. The words of the song were written by Horatio, but the melody was written by Philip Bliss, who died shortly after it was written. He and his wife were in a terrible train wreck in Ohio. So here's these tragedies surrounding that beautiful little song that we just sang. And despite the many tragedies, many found and find comfort in those words today. It's a hymn, along with countless other hymns, that have such an amazing ministry to them. How is the sweet sounds that we hear? How do we look at hymns like Amazing Grace and What a Friend We Have in Jesus and these other songs and find comfort in them? Each were created, of course, out of tragedy, but each one also had a common thread. People found solace in God there. So I wish you would turn with me now to Psalm 46. We're going to take a look at Psalm 46. This is God's defense of his city and people. We're going to go to verses 1 and 3, and then we're going to skip down to verse 10. God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in their heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Then we skip down to verse 10. You've probably heard this one. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So each verse contains this powerful words that of faith and of truth, and in spite of difficult situations, the comfort that echoes through these songs as well as these psalms give us a God that shines brightly. The psalm and the hymn echo pain and suffering, but yet more importantly, they reveal to us eternal teachings that must be that we find refuge or solace in God. Although the actual words, "It is well with my soul," cannot be found in Scripture, Jesus did say in Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29, "Come to me, all that are heavy and are weary and heavy with heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We should be grateful that our compassionate Heavenly Father gives us rest and comfort and peace through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we can find peace in God in spite of all of our difficult situations, no matter what our circumstances. And for more than a century, those tragic stories appear one after another, and one man can lose hope. Countless others can also find their souls lifted as we sing, "It is well with my soul." Through faith in God, there is the promise of peace and contentment for those who place their trust in God. The question is deeper. For John Wesley, this is something he started, the founder of Methodism. He, every time they met as a small group or when he came together with others, he would say this to them: "How is it with your soul?" He'd say, "How is it with your soul?" Not, "How are you doing? How's it going this morning?" It is, "How is it with your soul?" And that's a lot harder to answer than, "It's fine," right? So when I want you to think this week, the question that's tough to answer, because it leads us to maybe a few more questions. So sometimes when we say, "How is it with my soul?" you might be thinking, well, what are the things that I'm engaging in that bring my soul closer to God? Or what are the things that I'm doing that are putting a wedge between God and I? What are the things that I'm doing in my life that are really making my soul shine brightly and flourish for God? Or what are the things I'm engaging in that is draining my soul? And what can I do differently? And what can I continue to do to grow and become deeper in my faith? Wouldn't you agree that it's difficult sometimes to admit that we're engaged in a life that may not bring joy to our souls or to love for God? You see, sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of things that are sucking the life right out of us. So let me ask you again, how is it with your soul? So let's be honest. I know our souls grow weary. It can become very easy for you and for I to get lost in the mundane parts of our lives with negative emotions, overwhelmed with the decisions that we need to make. This week, I want you to do something for me. I want us to all agree that for one moment in the midst of your week, you're going to stop and you're going to have a check-in with God. And you're going to say, "Okay, God, I'm going to ask that John Wesley question. God, how is it with my soul?" And then I want you to just take a few moments in silence and then just listen. Just see what he says to you. Let me assure you, when you do, you'll begin to experience moments in your life with a glimmer of hope that will appear, and your soul will begin to shine a little brighter every time you do that. And you'll begin to feel a little lighter every time you do that. So this soul searching happened to me a few months ago in the midst of transitioning from my last church to this church. Our worship team that Nick was on decided to take a trip to the Kennedy Space Center. In lieu of having a meeting in the office, I'm like, "Meeting in the office? Kennedy Space Center?" We all agreed, let's go to the Kennedy Space Center. So we did, and we had a great time. It was the first time I had ever been, so I thought, before I leave Cocoa, Florida, I've got to go to Kennedy Space Center. After all, I've heard the roar of these rockets going up. I've felt the vibration as these rockets go up. SpaceX has been shooting off rockets for the last year and a half, almost on a regular basis, monthly basis, and it's even when the landing that they're amazing too. You really feel the earth shake when that happens. But on our day together, it was wonderful. And when you look at the sheer size of these buildings and the spacecrafts, and you realize what an amazing universe that we have, that these crafts have been built to go explore. And it gives us a bigger perspective, I think, of God and His amazing creation. We can learn just how much of life is, how big it is, and how God must be in comparison to the little things that we put so much importance on here on earth. Well, we were grateful that Nick got us some discounted tickets because he has an astronaut aunt by the name of Nicole Stout. And so I went home and I actually thought about Nicole and what she did and what explorers like her as astronauts do. I mean, this is a woman who spent 18 days underwater in an Aquarius undersea habitat so that she could learn how to go to then the International Space Station to live. So she's been to the International Space Station several times. She even was on the last expedition for the crew members to return to Earth via the space shuttle. But Nicole would go two more times, and even on October 21st in 2009, she and Jeff Williams participated in the first tweet from outer space. Now, that's pretty cool, I think. Twitter. Wow. And you know all the things I could say about Twitter right now, but I won't. But on our visit there, we learned that Aunt Nikki even called Nick from outer space and wished him a happy birthday. Now, that's pretty cool. That's perspective, don't you think? So just think of the missions that people have gone on and taken for the glory of God. Just think of the creation that God has made. Did you know that there's 186,000 miles per second that light travels? That fast. Just with a snap of your finger, light has traveled around the earth six times. That's how fast light is. A God did that. We think sometimes that our prayers can't be heard. We think sometimes that God doesn't hear us. But in the snap of a finger, light has traveled 186,000 miles in a second. Now, the sun is 94.4 million miles away. It's the closest star to us. If you traveled 65 miles an hour, 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year, it would take you 163 years to get to the sun from here. That's how far it is. Yet when we walk outside, it takes 8 minutes for the light from the sun to come from the sun's surface to our face when we walk out and we feel it. When our brow starts sweating right now in the Florida heat. Only 8 minutes. 94.4 million miles. Our God created that. There's 80 million galaxies. There's 10 galaxies for every single one of us. That's an amazing God. God is so much bigger than anything we can possibly comprehend, yet when we doubt ourselves and the possibilities of what can happen in the life of a church or in your life, remember that God is 15.5 billion light years bigger than you. Bigger than our problems and bigger than our dreams. And a God-sized dream puts human beings in a metal object and shoots them into outer space. And God-sized dreams cures cancer. And God-sized dreams says, be still and know that I am God. And a God-sized person can experience God in a new way, in a different way, by saying, is it well with my soul, God? I'm awestruck that God has called me to be a part of a team with all of you, a team that will go forth and try to lead new people to God, to explore who this man was that was human and God by the name of Jesus Christ. How together that we can learn to love and be the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears of Jesus. So before we end today, or the day that we went to Kennedy Space Center, we watched this video. It was done in 1962. Then President John F. Kennedy delivered this speech called what he calls the Moon Speech. So, okay, Jenny, here I go. I'm going to try my Bostonian accent, so don't laugh. But here he is, President John F. Kennedy. He said these words. We chose to go to the moon. We chose to go to the moon. We chose to go to the moon.
in this decade and do other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard, because the goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills, because that challenge is one that we are willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win. Okay, obviously I replayed that over and over again on YouTube so I could get it down. And I still don't have it right. I mean, but it's close, right? Okay. But I thought about what it means if we took those same words in that same moon speech and applied it to us today here in this church. I think we choose to believe in God. We chose to believe in God, to come here, and we chose to believe in God who asked us to take care of creation and take care of his people, not because it was easy, but because it was hard. Because the goal is to serve and to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because the challenge is never one as a Christian that we want to accept, but are we willing to accept? As Christians, we must never be willing to postpone, but intend to win one for Jesus Christ. This is our mission. This is what we are intended to do. Our mission will continue, and God's mission will continue long after we are all gone. And the mission that Jesus asked us to take was to go on a journey. No matter where we are, no matter where we're headed, Jesus called us together and said, build new bridges, dream new dreams, go sing a new song. Go and do life together. God called Abraham to a new country. He called Moses to a new promised land. He called Joseph to Egypt because of a great famine that would happen. And he called another Joseph to go to Egypt and take his wife and son, Jesus. And God called people to be disciples and go to the ends of the earth. God doesn't just call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God's called you here this morning. He's called you here for a reason, for a purpose. God has called you to a new mission in the name of Jesus Christ, to be Jesus Christ right here in this community. And yes, we can have anxiety, and yes, we're afraid. Even children know that new things are always scary. But if you think about the problems of our dreams and you think that they're too big, remember that the God of this universe is bigger than anything we can comprehend. And we can find peace and solace in God in spite of our difficult circumstances. Our psalm from Scripture and the hymn that we sang today are both beautiful expressions of worshiping God. The psalms and hymns are both the way we can echo pain and suffering, but yet more importantly, reveal an eternal teaching that we must find our soul's refuge and solace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And in the words of Horatio G. Spafford, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Let us pray. Almighty God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this time of being able to just worship with you and give you thanks and praise. We ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.